Across the line on Tip FM with Thurles Credit Union, offering a comprehensive suite of loans at exceptionally keen rates. Apply today at thurlescu.ie.
And you're welcome along to another edition of Across the Line with me, Shane Brophy, your Friday evening build-up to the sporting weekend in the Premier County. And on tonight's show, we have another busy edition for you over the next hour or so, looking ahead to another busy weekend of Gaelic games, including the County Senior Hurling Final replay between Thurles Arsels and Loughmore Castellani. We'll look ahead to the Munster Senior Camogie Final, and not of this year, but of 2020, between Drummond Inch and Aina Kilnamona. In Part 3, we'll hear from the Mind Temple Tuohy camp ahead of their Munster Intermediate Hurling Quarter Final against Kilmoyle of Kerry. And in the final part of the show, we'll look at North Tipperary Soccer with a likely title decider this weekend. And as always, we'll wrap up by talking dogs with Barry Drake. So all that and more over the next 55 minutes or so, so don't go anywhere. We'll begin with Camogie, where on Sunday, Drummond Inch will take on Clare champions Aina Kilnamona in the delayed 2020 Munster Senior Camogie Championship Final. It will be played in Killeady in Limerick at 12:30 p.m. The championship was unfinished from October of last year, and in the meantime, Drummond Inch have retained their Tipperary Senior Championship last weekend with a 3-9-1-10 win over Clonalty Rossmore. And to look ahead to the game, I am joined by Drummond Inch manager Pat Ryan. Pat, you're welcome to the show.
Shane, how are you?
Good to have you along, Pat. I know you've training there later on, so it's looking a bit rough out there, but I'd say you're not going to be out there for too long. But I'm sure, look, what is it, 14 months after you were hoping to play this game, I'm sure yourself and the girls are eagerly looking forward to this.
We are looking forward to it. It's been a long time waiting, but look, after all, you said 14 months there waiting, but so all of a sudden it's just here, so we're focusing on the weekend ahead, and hopefully it'll work out.
Yeah, I know, this was the original plan, maybe this was to play it this summer, and I know there was pushback by I suppose counties that and clubs not to break up the season. So how in terms of your own plan, and how we fix for this match?
Look, we're going well. We came off the back of a very stern challenge from Naughty there last Saturday, and we came out the good side of it, and to be honest, even the match like that is going to hold us in good stead for what's facing us again the weekend, Shane.
Mm-hmm. And like the Aina Kilnamona have been pushing hard, knocking at the door there for a long number of years. So look, they'll pose a stiff test for you.
Of course they will. They've failed the last two or three Munster finals. Look, they'll be itching to get over the line, but so will we. We had unfinished business as well from the year before. We were really looking forward to try and get back there and do ourselves justice. We didn't do ourselves justice in 2019 against Scariff and Bundelow. We kind of left it behind us in our view, and we were looking forward to another chance to get there. And here we have it now, so we have to refocus and push on again.
And just in terms of this, is there an All-Ireland series after this final, or will this just be parked and you'll turn your attention to the 2021 Munster and All-Ireland series?
No, there's an All-Ireland series after that. Oh. The All-Ireland semi-final is down for the 10th of December.
Yeah.
So there's no great. There's it's coming thick and fast, and like it's. Look, I suppose sometimes it's where you want to be.
Yeah.
Matches, and then you'll have nearly all the groundwork done, hopefully, for a new season ahead. But look, it's a hectic season. But I think the girls aren't complaining. When you're this far into a season, you're still going well. You know, so the spirit is good in the camp.
Yeah, and like as I say, you're coming in probably in the best way possible. Like hers, you're not. Like you're coming in as defending champions. You've retained your title, so you're coming in with momentum, maybe rather than maybe some other teams who have maybe lost their title but are still trying to compete in a 2020 competition.
Exactly. That's the way it is. I think we're beaten in the semi-finals in their county this year. So look, they'll be coming in smarting from that, and they'll want to perform us again to make up for that. And look, as I said already, the match we had last Saturday, it was really, really intense, and it could have gone either way up to the last couple of minutes, and it's fair due to Canolty, but it does just send us hopefully in good stead for what we're going to face again. And they're a similar kind of team. They'll run it to under physical, and it's ideal the way it worked out for us coming into this final.
Yeah, any injuries on your side, or are you all good to go?
There's niggly ones. There's always going to be niggly ones. We'll sort it out. We'll see there tonight how way they're going. But I think we're good to go. But look, for everyone, there's nervous energy, I suppose. Everyone is just gearing the minds for Sunday and to give it a good go, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, there's great excitement, I'm sure, in the Drum camp, and I suppose like the club's intermediate footballers won last week, and I know you're a lot more cohort. It'll probably be hopefully not making the speed limit to get from Killeedy back to Semple Stadium for the senior men's final. So I'm sure it's all go in the Drum and Inch and Loughmore areas at the moment.
It is. It's all good, and you're not to forget that we still have county representation with Turles Rafters in the intermediate one on Saturday as well. So look, it's looking good for the county when you have all clubs at the business end of the season. I know it's 2020 as well, but you're still competing. You're representing your county, and it's a great honour for both clubs to be facilitating that. And it's a proud moment for both clubs. And best of luck to Turles Rafters as well on tomorrow, and best of luck to them all.
Absolutely, and we wish Drum and Inch the best of luck in that Munster final. Pat Ryan, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
No problem, Shane. Thank you very much.
Pat Ryan there, manager of the Drum and Inch Senior Camogie team. They take on Aina Kilmona of Clare in the 2020 Munster Senior Camogie Final. That's in Killeedy in Limerick. I think it's somewhere near Rakeel at 12:30 on Sunday. Should be finished around 2 o'clock. So anybody that's going to Killeedy should be able to make it back to Turles in time for the senior final replay between Loughmore Castellani and Turles Arsfields, which is at 3:15. Now, Pat mentioned Turles Arsfields out there, also in a delayed 2020 Munster final. That takes place tomorrow in Mallow. They take on Galtier of Waterford in the Munster Intermediate Championship final. And earlier this week, Turles Arsfields player Katie McCormack spoke with her own Paul Carroll ahead of the meeting with Galtier. And even though this game, as I say, is about 13 or 14 months late, it's better late than never.
Waiting just over a year for it, but they say things. Sometimes the things we're waiting for, and hopefully that will be the case. Can't wait for the occasion, and there's a great buzz amongst the panel and with our families and everything. Everyone's looking forward to it. So we're waiting so long now, the build up is finally here, and we're just so excited to be playing at the weekend.
And how has the last few weeks been? Obviously you would have finished your senior campaign in the county championship, I think it was just over a month ago. So did you just stay training, did you take a week off, or did you just put the head down for the month?
We took a week off. I think we kind of needed it. We were happy enough for our campaign. We lost to Cashel by a point in the county quarter final, and that was kind of a hard knock to take. We felt like we had the opportunity to draw that, I suppose. So we needed a week off and then regroup and refocus. And I suppose throughout the championship, we wanted to do well. We wanted to represent Turles well. But the back of our minds was always that this is what we were playing for this year. We really wanted to get this Munster final, and all focused on that, and just using the senior championship merely as a stepping stone to having our best preparation possible going into the Munster final.
Yeah, and you did a fairly good job of that. Like you more than held your own at the senior grade. Like you two wins, and then the narrow loss to Cashel in the quarter final. So you probably got good confidence kind of coming into the game.
Yeah, and we learnt a lot. Like, you know, senior was a big shake up, and I suppose maturity brought a lot of maturity to the team, and make her stand up like and want to be counted to make that team and to play senior Cody. And look, we lost by 3 points to Clonan team. We felt that was a close match as well. Like, so we were happy with how we went, and we felt like we gave it a good shot. And it was, as I said, it was great preparation for this. And, you know, Galtier, our senior Camogie team down in Waterford. So, like, at least we're going in here now as senior Camogie players ourselves, and there's not that thing in the back of your head saying we're intermediate playing a senior team. We're both senior teams, and I suppose that's fair nearly going into this match. Like, it's a great thing to have behind you, like, going in.
Yeah, and on Galtier themselves then, I see that they've won the Waterford Senior Championship, so they're obviously coming in off a bit of confidence as well. Have you got to see much of them, or do you know much about them at all?
Yeah, well, Galtier will be well known. They're Intermediate Club All-Ireland Champions from 2019. They beat Rhinas with a last second goal in the All-Ireland Final in 2019. So they're a team that knows how to win, and they're a team that suffered losses as well. You know, they lost the All-Ireland Final the year before. Now they've changed a lot in the last 4 years. They're a much younger team now this year. They beat De La Salle in the county final this year. So yeah, look, it's like everything. Joe, girls come and go, and they're a different team every year. But look, they have a class team. They've two Fitzgeralds, Jackman. They're a class team, and we know we'll have everything to do on Saturday.
Turles Sarsfield's Katie McCormack looking ahead to tomorrow's Munster, 2020 Munster Intermediate Club Camogie final against Galtier of Waterford. That's in Mallow at 2:30. Also this weekend there is a semi-final action in the Munster Ladies Football Championships. Four Tipperary teams in semi-final action tomorrow at 12 o'clock in Middletown Castlemaine GAA Club in Kerry. It's the intermediate semi-final, Tipperary champions Galtier Rovers St. Picon against Castlelyne and Desmond's, while at 12:30 it's the Munster Junior semi-final, Mullinahone against Castlehaven. That's in Valley Rovers GAA Club in Briny. And on Sunday there's a doubleheader in Fitzgerald Stadium in Killarney. Firstly, the Munster Senior B semi-final, Clonmel Commercials against Rathmore at 11:45, followed at 2 p.m. by the Munster Senior semi-final, Tipperary County Champions Aherlow up against Kerry's Southern Gales, 2 o'clock. So busy weekend of provincial club championship action in Camogie and ladies football. Time for our first break, and we'll be back in part two with hurling. And you're very welcome back to the show, and we now look ahead to Sunday's County Senior Hurling Championship final replay between Loughmore, Castellini and Turles Sarsfields at Semple Stadium at 3:15, a game you can hear live here on Tip FM in association with Kevin O'Leary Opal Group in Clonmel. And to look ahead to the game, I'm joined by former Tipperary Senior Manager Michael Ryan, who will also be on co-commentary for the game with Stephen Gleeson. Michael, you're welcome to the show.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, Michael, you can hear us loud and clear.
Loud and clear.
Good. Michael, I suppose, to put your manager's hat on, Turles are coming in rested. Loughmore are coming in on a high after the football success last weekend. Which camp would you prefer to be in ahead of the replay?
Do you know what? It's a great question, and there's merits for both, really. Look, rest is massive, you know, and getting a two-week gap from one, you know, from the first final to the replay is worth a lot, and it really is, just even in terms of tired bodies and, you know, getting the chance to, you know, to put, you know, some finishing touches. You're not going to change a huge amount. You're not going to get fitter into 2 weeks or anything like it. But rest is hugely important. It's probably the most critical ingredient, you know, when you're between matches, particularly when they're coming in such quick succession. However, you can't beat winning. And Loughmore are, you know, coming into the final this weekend on the back of a historic win last Sunday. And again, you know, even the merit, the way that they got their win was just fabulous. Again, you know, a late score to win a match. You know, it's become very Loughmore-esque in terms of how to do it. So look, there's merits in both, to be honest. And you know, look at you just. I don't think it's going to upset either camp in terms of, you know, at this stage, you know, Friday before the Sunday. The game is coming, you know, or the weekend, the game is fast approaching now, and Loughmore will have rested as much as they possibly could since Sunday. But a win is just a massive jihad, you know, and in terms of the support that they've garnered at home, and even the belief, you know, crossing a line, you know, which is a very difficult thing to do. That's going to be worth a lot to them too, Shane.
Absolutely, and I get that they've announced that to this theory that you can't be playing 60 week on week and you're getting tired, but it's like they're finishing matches like a train. And I put it to Frankie McGrath last weekend, the Loughmore manager, that maybe the games are hurting them at the start of matches where they're maybe a bit of stiffness and stuff, and by the time maybe after 10 minutes they're 4 or 5 pints down, but by the time the blood is going and they're up and running, like they're going the full 60, 65 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, if the hurling, you know, 2 weeks ago was anything to go by, you know, Turles got the fantastic start, you know, getting, you know, 2-6 in the opening 15 minutes up to the first water break. And in comparison, Loughmore's 4 points, you know, it looked like that, you know, they'd already created a 10-point gap. And of all teams in the country, let alone the county, to give that kind of a lead to Turles Sarsfield, you know, they generally don't get caught. But I suppose time was on Loughmore's side, and they went on. They were the ones that went on to win each successive quarter right out to the end. You know, and I know they had to rescue the game themselves with that fantastic strike from Lee McGrath. But, you know, they did. You know, the facts are they won the remaining three quarters. And it's interesting, I suppose, the impact of the water break has had on all games throughout the year, you know, and obviously brought in because it was needed and it was required for, you know, to allow the games to go ahead and the safety of the players. But they are, those water breaks are impacting games.
There's no doubt about it. And I suppose a thing that thought has come into my head looking ahead to this game, and I know it would bring up bad memories for yourself of 2014 and that All-Ireland defeat for Tip against Kilkenny. It says how much, I suppose, is learning from that drawing game, and both teams will probably be delving back into what went well, what didn't go well, and whether one side or another maybe will maybe change things up a bit to see God to get again an advantage. Where do you see, maybe we'll look at Thurles, where do you see them having a greater scope for improvement this weekend?
Well, you know, the very fact that they got out of the blocks so well and did such damage in that opening 15 minutes. You know, if they were able to continue in that vein, like, you know, the reality is, for the remaining 45 minutes, Thurles scored 11 points, which is a very, a paltry enough return for Thurles Arsfield's team. In terms of, where are the gains to be had from them, I think if they can learn, the lessons that I thought were on view, is that you can't allow Loughmore play this game on their own terms. And Loughmore certainly did that. You know, they reduced it into that kind of a battle where they made it much easier for their backs and midfields to defend, because they seemed to work as a very tight unit, and the space between the lines seemed to be exactly as Loughmore would have liked to have set up, which created lots of room at the other end then for the forwards to operate. But you know, that's not to say, but the efficiency of Loughmore was unbelievable. You know, they were incredibly efficient, and their return from their attacks, particularly when it counted, in quarters 2, 3 and 4, were really, really good. Now, they did create a couple of goal chances themselves that they'll be disappointed they didn't execute, but the Thurles goal chances that they did take were exceptionally well taken scores, particularly Dennis Maher's first goal, where he was able to track the flight of the ball, and he in motion and the ball in motion was able to get a perfect touch to get it by Aidan McGrath, the goals. You know, and like, that was an exceptionally difficult skill to execute, but he did it exceptionally well. And having said that, I know all the accolades at the moment, we all praised and we were in awe that Loughmore could drag themselves score by score back into that game. Thurles never stopped fighting either. I think we've got to remember it was an absolutely quality game, and it was fascinating to watch it unfold in front of us. But I think it's really hard to call it. I just think, and you mentioned, that horror show that was the replay for us back in 2014. And I think hindsight's a great thing, but what it taught me certainly was that we didn't look to change it up or to do anything particularly different for the replay, whereas Kilkenny did, and they certainly closed us down, and it didn't become, it wasn't nothing like the free flowing game that the drawn game was, and they they wanted to play it on their terms. And again, I've referenced that before. I think Loughmore got to play this game on their own terms against Thurles Arsfield 2 weeks ago. Now, credit to them, they had to, because they were the ones that were chasing a 10-point deficit, and every quarter were eating into that deficit.
Yeah, and I suppose if you're looking from Thurles, you probably will maybe try to take maybe the Loughmore half back line out of play. I know that we were anticipating like John Maher probably will play. I know he probably held out for as a precaution in the football final. Brian McGrath should be ready to go. I think it was probably harder to play football with a broken thumb than it is to play hurling. So I think from a Thurles point of view, I think they probably know themselves. Like if they pump ball on top of John Maher and Brian McGrath, and either Tommy Maher or John Ryan, whoever starts in the other wing, they're going to be in difficulty.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Both teams have very strong half back lines, and the last thing you should be doing is pumping ball down on top of either of them, because they will hoover it up. Like, John Maher's positioning probably was one of the features of the game early on. That he just seemed to be the ball was like a magnet to him, that wherever he went, the ball seemed to fall into his hand, and he's a really good deliverer of the ball to the forwards as well. Time and time again, he's really good at getting the ball past the half back line and right into the full forward line with good diagonal kind of ball that's very winnable from a forward's perspective. But what was a big feature also, Shane, in the game for me anyway, was if there was an area for improvement for Thurles, it might be their discipline. They conceded an awful lot of scorable frees. I'm just, if I can remind myself here, 10 scorable frees that I've counted up for Loughmore, of which they scored 8. Whereas in comparison to that, and including 65s, you know, Aidan McCormack only got 4 chances.
Mm-hmm.
And now again, I could be wrong on that, but that's per the notes that I had.
Yeah.
I had taken.
I suppose we probably saw it in the football final last week. I suppose Loughmore, they're very comfortable on the ball, whether it's a big ball or small ball, and they're prepared to maybe try and break the tackle and draw fouls. And I suppose maybe I wouldn't be surprised maybe if we see the likes of John and Noel McGrath even in deeper roles. They got a lot of joy maybe working in small pockets of space in the drawing match and trying to create overlaps on the wing. And I suppose that's where Lee McGrath got his point for a finish.
Yeah, and your point is exactly right. Loughmore are very comfortable with the ball in hand and they don't panic, and they're always looking for the best option for the team, you know, and if that's retained possession to allow, give a guy a chance to create an overlap, you know, that's exactly what they do. And again, that's going to be the challenge for Thurles, you know, not to have a situation where you have John McGrath, who will, you know, start on the inside line and does his greatest damage, you know, definitely from the inside line. But he went out very deep in that hurling game against Thurles Sarsfields. And Noel as well, I would say, gave most of his time, you know, particularly in the second half of the match, out towards the middle of the field. And it makes it really difficult for the Thurles Sarsfields backs. Do you go, or do you try and hold your shape and, you know, ensure that you have given that kind of cover to the full back line? So, you know, that's where I think it'll be very interesting to see, you know, who's moving here and who's willing to, you know, to enforce the game or to not blink and not to give in to the opposition's, you know, kind of where they might like to play the game. And I think, you know, that will dictate an awful lot, you know, in terms of who might, you know, swing this game. Because, look, there's nothing between these teams. They've proven it time and time again. They're very well balanced. They play kind of different styles in that, you know, Loughmore will maximise their possession and they will take you on, and by running at backs, you're always, you know, forcing the back to, you know, to be either an exceptional tackler, cut out possession earlier, or, you know, and as we've seen 8 times, you give the opposition best free taker or best shooter a chance to put the ball down and have a go.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And, you know, the free taking has been really good on both sides, you'd have to say.
I suppose at this stage, what way are you leaning, or are you still finding it very, very hard to come down on either side?
Yeah, no, it is. It is very hard, and you know, this is the kind of stuff you can't win by calling it one way or the other. But honestly, you know, up to maybe last Sunday, I was leaning towards Thurles Sarsfields. I think they had the greatest capacity to improve, I felt. Loughmore winning the football for me has brought this game right back to maybe not quite advantage Loughmore, but 50-50 at best. And I know that's sitting back up on the fence again, but I just feel momentum, success, belief, you know, a special journey that Loughmore are on. I think they've turned this back into a 50-50. But for me, you know, having watched them play that drawing game last week, I don't know where else they could have gone, you know, to get an improvement. Mm-hmm. So, okay, if they got a better start and didn't give Thurles those couple of early goals, would they have run out winners? Possibly, but not necessarily. You know, so I think it'll be intriguing. And I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head, like, you know, who has learned more? And, you know, I think the interesting piece will be, you know, Mark Dowling has come up to work with Thurles Sarsfields from Kilkenny, and he comes from a great pedigree, and, you know, his club, Dixborough. And then you have Mick Dempsey, who's come into Loughmore and, you know, no stranger to high-pressure situations, replay situations, and what, you know, this is where we'll see, you know, what their philosophy is in the game and, you know, what do they want to, you know, how do they want these teams to play, you know, because it definitely will not be a carbon copy of what we got 2 weeks ago. They will tweak and they will do something a bit differently and, you know, take that as read. You know, obviously Loughmore will try and cut out that goal threat, and Thurles will not allow them, you know, allow Loughmore to play it on their terms as much as they got away with the last time, in my opinion. But God only knows after that, Shane.
Absolutely. I promise to be a fascinating game, as always, between these two great rivals. Michael Ryan, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Okay, Shane. God bless.
Michael Ryan there will be on co-commentary for Sunday's County Senior Hurling Final replay with Stephen Gleeson, 3:15 here on Tip FM. Two other county finals this weekend, both in Gaelic football. On Saturday, it's the under-19A football final. Ballina going for a double after last week's junior championship. Their play take on Clonmel Commercials in the Rag at 2 o'clock. And on Sunday, it's the County Junior B football final. Aherlow against Nina Rogue in Bursley at 12:30, or the Affinity final. I suppose, what, 29 years after the infamous under-21 final, did the two teams clash again. So I'm sure there'll be a bit of reminiscing going on in both clubs ahead of that final, 12:30 on Sunday. The second round of the Miller Shield is on again this weekend. On tomorrow in Clonalty. Both games in Clonalty. It's the North against the West, and then at 1 o'clock it's the Mid against the South. The teams and panels for both have been selected and are on the Tip FM website. Once again, there's no set admission fee for the games in Clonalty, but Tip GA are asking supporters attending the matches to make a donation to Skull Cormac in Cashel. So there is I was at the North v South game. I'm sure the tip management got a lot from last weekend's games and into round two. I suppose got a lot of players maybe that impressed last weekend, they'll be looking to impress again, and those that maybe didn't do themselves justice will feel this is another opportunity to put their hand up for selection. But I think inter-county training is due to start on the 8th of December, so I'm sure a panel will be put together in quick time. Time for a break, and we'll be back in part three with more hurling. And you're welcome back to the show, and we stay with hurling, where on Sunday County Intermediate champions Mind Temple Toohey entered the Munster Club Championship when they take on Kerry Senior Champions Kilmiley in Temple Toohey in the Munster Quarter Final, now with a new throw-in time of 2 p.m. rather than 1:30 p.m. To look ahead to the game, I'm joined by Mind Temple Toohey manager Liam England. Liam, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Ian.
Good to have you along, Liam. I'm sure, look, 2 weeks ago you had the great high of winning the County Intermediate Championship. Sort of disappointed last weekend to have been relegated from senior football, but I'm sure from your point of view, probably great to have another game coming so quickly, just to get over that disappointment and I suppose refocus on what has been a great hurling year for you so far.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, it's been a roller coaster couple of weeks, all right, between the highs of the hurling and the lows of the football. I suppose a lot of people are probably eulogising about Loughmore over the last 17 or 18 weeks, and rightly so, but I suppose we've been in the same situation in that we've been playing games back to back, and listen, that's been tough. But yeah, listen, massive high of winning the county final 2 weeks ago. It was something that obviously we set out at the start of the year, and that was one of our main goals. But also one of our main goals was to stay up in the football, but unfortunately last weekend we just fell short.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose there's probably an element of the last time Mind Temple Toohey won the County Intermediate in 2014, but you didn't get the club didn't get to participate in the Munster Championship because of the All-Ireland running late, the Tip Intermediate Championship wasn't completed on time to have a team in Munster. So I'm sure there's an element of we have to take this opportunity because it was sort of maybe denied from us 7 years ago.
Yeah, very true, Shane. And to be fair, a lot of people are saying kind of this is bonus territory, but that narrative kind of is banned from Mind Temple Toohey for the last 2 weeks. Like, this is something when we set out last kind of May, the end of last May when we first met, that this was something that we discussed. We kind of set out the objective, obviously number one of winning the county final, but number two was always to get to Croke Park. There's 10 steps to do that. We're at step 7 at the moment. Listen, we totally realised that we could be easily turned over on Sunday, but we kind of set a mountain in front of us, and getting to Croke Park is still very much part of climbing that mountain.
Yeah, and you take on the Kerry Senior Champions Kilmiley on Sunday, and I know their county final was about 5 or 6 weeks ago, but I think I know in the meantime they're managed by former Cork and Wexford manager John Myler, and I think he's been spotted at two of your games already, so he'll have his guys well prepared.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it's the 20th of September is the last time they played their county finals. I think that's probably 10 weeks ago now. And I know John Myler, to be fair, the Shrews manager that he is, he's been up at, I think it was three of our last three matches, actually. So he knows probably a lot more about us than we do about them. But yeah, listen, we've done our own research, obviously, on Kilmiley. We've probably been prepping for them pre the county final, actually, just in case we got over that hurdle then. We'd like to think we know enough about them as well to at least put a challenge together on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a nice occasion for the club to be and to be able to host a Munster club game in their own venue too. But as you say, you're not taking it as bonus territory. You're seen as and I suppose no more than Skaheen or Inky in the junior, because you just don't know when you might be in this position again to represent Tipperary in Munster and possibly in an All Ireland series.
Yeah, that's exactly it, Shane. And we discussed it all through the year. We always said this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. When you get this far, and particularly, I suppose, at the time, we didn't know we were going to have a home venue in the first round in Munster campaign, and that makes it all the more sweeter. A lot of people in Mind Temple Tutti over the last 20 years have obviously put a lot of work into the facilities over here and making the place look so good. So Sunday's a good opportunity to kind of show that and to do something for the guys that actually put all this together.
Yeah, and just in terms of Mind's success in the hurling so far this year, what has been the maybe the extra ingredients that I've seen you maybe go from maybe falling short maybe in finals and semi-finals to being county champions?
It's probably one or two things, Shane, to be fair. I suppose the age profile of the team versus the last couple of years is a lot better. The guys likes of the Jack Taylors, the Conor Bowes, the Garota Connors, the Sean Hayes, Shane Lowe, Owen Gorman, they're all that year or two older, so their S&C and their development and stuff like that has come along obviously with that, so they're in a better place now than they have been obviously. But then we got Brian Carroll in at the start of the year, and Brian, to be honest with you, has been the secret ingredient, I would say. The standards that he gets, that he's won 5 county medals in Offaly, a Leinster club, and the standards that he demands and intensity in training that he reaches, it's probably stuff like that that's probably brought us to a new level.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's been, I think, Killadangan and Silver Mines have been the only two Tipperary teams to be successful in Munster in, I suppose, the 15 or 16 years of this competition. So I suppose Tipperary are probably well overdue at this stage. And like you're our representative on the field this weekend, or sorry, this year.
Yeah, I think that the last time someone got to the final, I think, was Killadangan back in 2004. So listen, we're under no illusions under the task that's ahead of us, I suppose. People will consider us the 33rd best team maybe in Tipperary at the moment, whereas Kilmaily are the best team in Kerry. But listen, though, we've prepped hard. We're in a really good place. So listen, we're quietly confident we're going into Sunday.
Yeah, I know you have training at 7 o'clock, so I'll let you get back and get prepared. Liam England, Mind Temple 2, your manager, thanks for joining us on the show.
Cheers, Shane. Thanks.
Liam England there, looking ahead to Mind Temple Toohey against Kilmaily in the Munster Intermediate Club quarter final Sunday at 2 o'clock in Temple Toohey, not 1:30. The game is at 2 o'clock, and in the Munster Junior Hurling quarter final tomorrow, Tipperary Junior Champions Skaheen or Inky, they are in Tralee for a 1:30 start against Tralee Parnells. So we wish them the best of luck in that encounter. Time for our final break, and we'll be back in part four with soccer, rugby, and greyhound racing. And welcome back to the final part of Across the Line, and we'll just go through the rugby fixtures in the All-Ireland League this weekend. All games on Saturday in Division 2A, it's Cashel at home to Old Crescent. Cashel have had a good run of form recently, so if they can, they'll be hoping to get maybe 4 and under 5 points to chase down the Queen's Buccaneers and Ballymena, who are setting the early pace. And Nina Ormond, who are languishing at the bottom of Division 2A, they make the long trip to Ballymena, hoping to get their second win of the season. And in Division 2C, Clonmel, who are also winless after 6 games, they're second from bottom of the table. They welcome Oma Academicals to Clonmel for a 2:30 kick-off on Saturday. In local soccer in South Tipperary, the big games this weekend on Sunday are the fourth round of the FAI Junior Cup. It's St. Michael's at home to Ashburn United at 2 o'clock. Peak Villa also have Mead opposition and former Trim Celtic at 2 o'clock, while Clonmel Town make the trip to Mullingar Town for a 2 p.m. kickoff. And then there's one game in the Clonmel Credit Union Premier League. It's Vee Rovers against 2 Mile Burris at 2:30 p.m. While in North Tipperary, we're at the penultimate round of the Premier Division, and we could see a league champion crowned this weekend. And to have a look at the key games, I'm joined by Nina Gargin, soccer writer, Gary Culbert. Gary, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Shane. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you along, Gary. As you say, we could have a champion crowned this Sunday with top of the table, Killavilla United, travelling to Clodagh Rangers, who are 2 points behind, but Killavilla have a game in hand. So if Killavilla avoid defeat this weekend, the title goes back to Ross Gray.
Yeah, it does, Shane. But Killavilla, They're not unbeatable. They lost the Rare Cross after extra time in the Munster Junior Cup at the weekend. That's Division 1 Rare Cross, so that shows that they are beatable. But they just have so many match winners around the pitch. You've got the likes of Rory Murphy, Paul Kerwin, and of course, new addition to the team, Dion Kearney. He's really hit the ground running, and he's really lighting up the league. He's quick feet. He's a type of player that we don't often see in North Tip. Mm-hmm. And that's their attacking threat. But also, they've plenty of for them at the back as well. If they play three centre-backs in front of arguably the best keeper in the league, Jason Ryan. And that has resulted in them only conceding 14 goals in their 12 league games.
Mm-hmm. And like, you took a Clodagh, like they settled at the early pace in the league, and they sort of had a bit of a lull there towards the end. But the last few games that they've picked up wins, and like they could think of home advantage here if we could get a win and at least force Killavilla to win their final game to win the league.
Yeah, I suppose I'm guilty of unfairly ruling out Clodagh earlier on in the cycle race. They're unbeaten 17th of October. But in that time, they've only beaten a Burstacane team that's winless in four games and a BT team who have picked up 1 point out of the last available 15. So they are on a good run of form, but they haven't really been tested in a while. I can see them getting something from the game, but with Killavilla having Burraway, Ballymackey and BT Harps yet to play, I think it'll be a step too far for Clodagh, but it's still a fantastic achievement that they've done so well in their first season.
Absolutely, as if they can win it, it will force Killavilla to win the remaining games to win the title. The other game in the Premier Division on Sunday, it's Lough Derg at home to BT Harps, and I think BT Harps, if they don't win this game, they're relegated.
Yeah, look, as I said, 1 point out of their last available 15 is not good enough. They're a great addition to the North Tip League. It's their first season back in the league and they were put into the Premier Division. So it might just have been a step too far for them as well.
Mm-hmm. Like in terms of the league this year, like it's been a pretty good title race, like, and it's been pretty even top, middle and bottom, like, and I suppose even the relegation battle has been pretty intense too, and the likes of Borroway and Moneygall and Lough Derg, and they've hit form at the right time as well to get themselves I would say almost out of it. I suppose Moneygall and Borroway, one of them is probably going to join BT Harps and going down at the end of the season.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, Lough Derg are safe from the relegation. Moneygall and Burraway are tied on 13 points with 13 games played. Burraway have Ballymackey away, who they bet in the reverse fixture. They've Lough Derg at home, who they already bet away. Whereas if you look at Moneygall's remaining three games, they've lost against all the teams in the reverse fixture. Mm-hmm. They've Clodagh at home, Lough Derg away and Burstacane away. And also, Moneygall, they're the highest conceding team in the Premier Division.
So there's still a decent way to go on that, so it promises to be intriguing. I'm sure we'll be fascinated to see how that Premier Division relatively title decider on Sunday, Clodagh Rangers against Killavilla at 11:30 in Dunban. Gary Culbert, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Gary Culbert there, looking ahead to the latest round of games in the North Tipperary and District League. And as always on a Friday evening, it's time to talk dogs.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
And as ever, we have Barry Drake on the line. Barry, you're welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to be on again, Shane.
Good to have you along, Barry. Before we look at the local action, Barry, we're at the semi-final stage of the Irish St. Ledger at Limerick.
Yeah, that's right, Shane. In fact, it's the final.
Oh, sorry, final. Apologies.
Yeah, apologies. No hassle there. 30,000 euro to the winner. As I've been saying in recent weeks, a fabulous competition, and it all boils down to Saturday night's decider. Six fabulous grounds in the lineup. Huge Tipperary interest. They have three of the six runners. Golden trainer Graham Holland is represented with the two favourites, the unbeaten trap number one, Russian Glory, who has been inch perfect so far in the competition. And also, the big Tipperary ground, when you consider that it's owned and trained in Tipperary, that's trap number two, Pat Blake, who's owned by the partnership of Una Creed and Mary O'Connor in Clonmel. This greyhound missed the kick badly last time, but showed massive pace to qualify. It really was a huge performance to finish third He set the standard so far in the competition when winning in 29-24, and he really is the one to beat for me. We also have trap number 3, Darejet Sydney, who's trained by Kappa White trainer Pat Buckley. No stranger to big race success, having won the English Greyhound Derby last year. The Matchbook Betting Exchange Irish St. Ledger final is due off at 9:24. You can watch all the action live on Racing Post Greyhound TV, Sky Channel 437, free to air. The show will get underway around 6 o'clock. As I said, all eyes will be on the feature, and I'm going to take side with trap number 2, Perth Blake, the big Clonmel owned ground. I think if Perth Blake can produce his best start in the competition, you could well see him dominate from start to finish. So he's the one for me in that one, Shane.
Yeah, and there's also another big final this weekend in Shelburne Park with the National Puppy Stake, and local trainer Jennifer O'Donnell is strongly featuring there.
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's a fantastic event there on Saturday night. And as I said last week, it's always a good indication of the dogs to follow for the big competitions next year. It looked a bit of a match between two greyhounds, trap number 2 in a row for Cork trainer Pat Kiley, and of course Scooby Prince for Killinall trainer Jennifer O'Donnell. But earlier this week, Pat Kiley reported that 2 in a row picked up a slight injury. Everything is okay, but they're going to put him away and wrap him up and look after him till next year. It's unfortunate he won't line up in the final, but look, they're very much looking forward to that greyhound next year, and they're not going to be taking any chances. So I think it really opens the door now for Scooby Prince. As I said, training Killinall by Jennifer O'Donnell. This greyhound has the potential to go to the very top of the greyhound game next year. Ran a massive race when finishing second last week. Previous to that, won in 28-36. And I can't see nothing else but a Scooby Prince win there in that feature in Shelburne Park on Saturday night. 12,500 euros to the winner. And it really would be a big race success for Jennifer O'Donnell if Scooby Prince could land the spoils. She had a wonderful servant, Scooby Princess, who was also owned by Steve Noble, who owned Scooby Prince. They retired her early this week, and she was a wonderful servant for the kennel. So I think Scooby Prince now could take over the mantle as the big dog for Steve Noble and Jennifer O'Donnell. So a lot to look forward to with him.
Absolutely, and I'm sure we'll look at the weather outside. It's going to be a weekend for the diehard dog fans, and I suppose locally we have the meeting tonight and Sunday in Clonmel, and Saturday evening in Thurles. So what's taking your fancy?
Yeah, some really good racing over the course of the weekend. Just in terms of Clonmel tonight, a couple to keep an eye on. Trap number 4, I think Mallog's King can make a back-to-back successes in the November on race stake final owned by Sean Drohan there in Carrigan Shore, while in the following race, trap number 2, Riverside Bow, can get off the mark for the first time and the fourth time of asking for golden trainer Graham Holland, dropped into 8-2 company. He looks banker material. While in race number 7, Marco O'Donovan, the Tipperary trainer, who's had a remarkable year, Danger Close here, can make a 2-win from 3 career outings. I think this is a greyhound worth following going forward, and he should have little trouble in recording a second career victory in that race in Clonmel tonight. So a good standard of racing in Clonmel tonight. A lot to look forward to below there. 7:30 start. On to Thurles then tomorrow night. It's 12 races. 7:35 start here in Thurles. I like 2 grounds in Thurles on Saturday night. We're going to go with race number 5, trap number 1, Bogger Shawnee, who's owned and trained by Liam Peacock in Thurles. 29-27 winner last time. This greyhound can make a back-to-back wins in the bonus ball 8-2, 8-3 stake. While in race number 12 in Thurles, I think Tarzan Soda running from trap number 2 should go well for Jeff Parnaby there in Boris O'Lee. And finally, in terms of racing action this week in the Tipperary tracks, Clonmel have a 10 race car down for decision getting underway at 7:30 on Sunday night. Race number 7 here, sweet on the chances of trap number 1, Brave Yank, who's owned by Marion Kennedy in Cashel. This greyhound finished second last time, dropped in class here on Sunday night, and I think that Son of Loghill Blake should have no problem recording a second career victory. So look, as I said, Shane, it really is an action-packed weekend of greyhound racing. If you can't make Limerick on Saturday night, I'm sure many people will be tuned in to Sky Channel 437 for the Matchbook Betting Exchange Irish St. Ledger final. Bumper weekend in store.
Comprehensive as always, Barry, and we'll have you back on the show next Friday night. Barry Drake, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks very much, Shane.
And that's about it for this week's show. Don't forget our live offering this Sunday on Tip FM, the County Senior Hurling Final replay from Semple Stadium at 3:15. Turles Arsenal against Loughmore Castellini, live commentary from Stephen Gleeson and Michael Ryan in association with Kevin O'Leary Opel Group and Clonmel. And Ronan Quirk will round it all up on Monday evening's Extra Time show from 7 o'clock. I'll be back next Friday evening from 6 for another Across the Line. Thanks to all my guests and to my producer, Michael Brophy. After the news at 7, it's Premier Country with Carol Power. Bye for now.